Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. We want to first start with a special call out to Jake Weinman. The new year, Tav Shin Pei Hei. The new year has arrived, post Yom Kippur, and Baruch Hashem, we're doing this for many years already. Incredible schus. Jake Weinman, it's all his. All his schus is hard work, and we owe him a very, very special thank you. And we are indebted to him, and we express our gratitude to Jake for making it available to us to learn Torah every single day of the week. There's no rest. And with a special thanks to Mitch Green for his expertise and technical assistance in posting the shiurim and managing the website. Phenomenal job. Thank you, Mitch. Tonight, we want to dedicate the shiur L'Zeche U'Le'ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. And we thank our sponsor, and we wish that this neshama, this holy neshama, have an aliyah, and it is a schus for him and for us to learn l'zecha nishmasa. I'd like to speak about the mitzvah of Sukkah. We're holding post Yom Kippur. Chazal say the first day of Yom Kippur, the Chazal, the Torah describes it, ulekachtem lochem b'yom harishon. Creates father kapos tomorrow vanaf its avos arvi nochal usemachtem lufnei Hashem alokechem. Taking the dalad minim on Sukkot is described as a mitzvah of joy, and it's very remarkable that it describes the first day of Sukkot as the yom harishon. It's not the yom harishon; it's the 15th day of the month. Why is it called the Yom HaRishon? Chazal tell us, Rishon L'cheshbon Avonos. It's the first day for the calculation of sin. And that's a really big mystery, what that means. Chazal tell us that, ideally, a person comes out of Yom Kippur on such a high, on an exalted spiritual level. It's not possible to do an Avera for 4 days. You're busy building the Sukkah, busy with the Dalad Minim, busy reflecting on the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. Your lips are murmuring the melodies of the Nusach of Yom Kippur. And it's just impossible to do an Avera. The first time you can do an Avera is when things settle down, the first day of Sukkot. Okay, that's a little bit of an interesting drush, but it does say, B'yom Rishon, Chazal do make this comment, that you're too busy to do Averas. So here we are, in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. It's a very special time, a very, very special time. A very special feeling in the air. It's really unique, a unique time of the year. These 4 days, these are very special 4 days that the Torah excludes from Cheshbon Avonos. And we should cherish these 4 days, cherish every moment as much as we can. And there's no better way to celebrate these 4 days than learning. As we hear today, learning shareenjoyment.com. Learning Torah is certainly the best possible way to cherish, to celebrate this time. I want to discuss something. On Sukkot, there is a minog. Many people have this minog. Not everyone. It's not always practical to do the minhag. Some people do it. Some don't do it. I was brought up. I davened many years in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, and they do the minhag in a very pronounced, distinguished way, where you go into the sukkah to bench to make the bracha on lulav and esrog. There, it was the minhag. They do this in some shuls. My father was a rav, and in the later years, he started doing this. He also he enjoyed this minute very much, where you would make the bracha, Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvayis HaMitzvanu Al Netilas Lulav, in the sukkah. You're not chayav to do that. You can make the bracha of Al Netilas Lulav, shake the lulav and esrog outside of the sukkah. In shul, you certainly daven, you shake the lulav and esrog, you don't do it in the sukkah. But there is a minog to make the bracha of Netilas Lulav in the sukkah. And some people do it in the morning before they go to shul. They first go into their sukkah and they take their lulav and esrog and they make the bracha. Some shuls, they have a break right before they daven Hallel. You go into the sukkah and you make the bracha Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvayis HaMitzvanu Al Netilas Lulav before, right before you daven Hallel. There are advantages, disadvantages in each approach. We're not going to discuss the halachic issues, but there is such a minhag. And there are really two mitzvahs on the sukkahs. There is the mitzvah of eating in a sukkah, living in the sukkah, basukkahs teishu shivas yamim, and there is a mitzvah to shake the lulav and the esrog. Now the Torah says about shaking the lulav and the esrog, it's clear as day. Pasuk says, ulakachtem lochem bayom harishayim, pri eitz hadar, a beautiful fruit, which Chazal tell us is the esrog, and Kapois Tamarim, the Lulav, Anaf Eitz Avois, the Hadasim, Arve Nochal, the Aravois. And the Torah says, Usimachtem, rejoice, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. It's not really clear how shaking the Lulav, the Esrog, the Aravois, the Hadasim, how this brings joy. Okay, esrog is look at a beautiful esrog. It can bring you simcha, a gorgeous esrog with blitois and a gidul, and the right color. It brings simcha, and with the aravos, and the hadasim and the lulav, it's Chazal tells the Torah tells us, rejoice. It enhances your enjoyment. And we have emunah in the Torah that taking these four minim together, it brings us simcha. And when mahader, we bring a beautiful esrog. Look for, a perfect lulav, perfect hadasim. Each one of the dalad minim has its specific halachos in what is proper, what is ideal. Someone just gave me now, you can see over here, hadasim. It's amazing how they put the hadasim in tubes. Special, mishulash, perfect hadasim. I would imagine this cost on the market at least $50. I wouldn't buy, but that, they are mahader. People are mahader in the mitzvah. They get, you can get an esrog for $350. Easy. $400. You can get a lulav for $150. Hadasim for $50. Aravos, nope, five. All right, not everyone has to spend that kind of money on a set. Of course, a set for $40 is just as kosher, believe me. But, people like to be mahadir in the mitzvah. But where do we do this? The minig is to do this in the sukkah. What is the sukkah? So we know the sukkah is tzila dim hemnusa, the shade of faith. You're in Hashem's presence. You're in the nani hakavod. It is you're resting in the shechina. You're in Hashem's presence. But in another dimension, it's not a contradiction. The schach is the ikur, is the main part of the sukkah. And Chazal tells us, Chazal darshan, the psukim, how do you make a sukkah? What is a sukkah made out of? The ikur is the schach. It's the psoiles of the goyrin v'yegev.
the schach cannot be a davar hamekabel tuma. It's just grass. We take, you know, bamboo slats, we make them into mats, straw, all different types of things that you can use as schach. But the common denominator of the various types of schach is psoilus. It's residue. It's a byproduct of a staple of life. It's worthless. If not for it being, you know, a mat can cost, I don't know, $200. I remember I bought a mat, I don't know, a few years ago, the different types of mats. I don't know, it cost then $100, $125. I don't know what the prices are now. But if not for the fact that, you know, it's a business, that people, you know, they're selling you the schach, what is it? It's garbage. I don't mean to say that mitzvah is garbage, but it's a byproduct of the earth. There is grain. There's a product of the vine. There's fruits. There is a vegetation, but it's basically worthless. It's worthless material. It's just a weed. It's just something which grows, and you know, maybe it serves a purpose. You know, it protects. Depending what time you have, it's called in Chazal pisoiles. Residue, and that's the sukkah we are in. Now, the sukkah is our home for 7 days. Would you dream of having a home with such a ceiling, a roof, where it leaks in and is psoiles? The average person today, you rent an apartment, you buy a house, you have a solid roof over your head. You build it well. You live in comfort. You live, it's insulated. The ceiling and the walls and your home is your main possession in life. And you strive to invest in that it be solid. It be an object of beauty. It provides security, shelter, warmth. It's your home. And I need not tell you, the price, it's the most expensive object that you own. And people spend on their homes millions of dollars to invest in a quality home. And here in Sukkos, the Torah tells us, live in psoilus. I'm not just talking about, you know, a temporary dwelling. You can have a temporary dwelling, which is gorgeous. You can spend $1 million on a temporary dwelling. I want to focus on the schach of the temporary dwelling is psoilus. It's garbage. It's residue. If it's makabel tuma, it's possible. I mean, you can make a temporary dwelling and have vines and have exotic roofing material, which allows it to rain in. No, that's not kosher. It's psoilus. Psoilus goyren v'yekev. Basically, it's garbage. And that's your home for 7 days. What do you do in your home? Torah tells us you take a gorgeous, exotic fruit, the esrog, and the lulav, and the hadasim, and the aravos, and you go into that home, and you rejoice. U'semachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. There's a contradiction. The sukkah is a homeless shelter. And what do you do in the homeless shelter? You basically, I mean, you bring your crown jewels and you demonstrate to yourself, your family, to Hashem, look at my crown jewels. Like a king has, you open up the vault. You take out the best that you have, the most exotic fruits that people spend crazy amounts of money. They can, you know, in Williamsburg, I know they're, you know, the exclusive places that buy the most expensive esrog. They can spend easily $500 on an Esrog. Okay, we don't do that. We spend a lot less on the Esrog, most of us. But you take something which the Torah considers to be gorgeous. It's a contradiction. You're going to a homeless shelter, which is soulless, and you're living like a king. That's exactly the message of Sukkot in one dimension. Living in this world is not always pleasant. Most of us, or I can't say some of us, the environment in which we live is depressing. It's suffering, one of suffering. It's decrepit. I don't mean the physical structure, but in life, unfortunately, we go through situations. We go through different areas of our life are just filled with anxiety, depression, sadness. That's the environment. That's the world we live in. Every day there's another problem, another agony, more suffering. And the Torah is telling you, your environment may appear to be not that great, to say the least. But in that environment, I want you to live. U'samachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Take in your hands a beautiful fruit, hadasim, fragrance, arevos, which grow with a lot of water, the palm tree, delicious fruit. U'samachtem. Make the most of life. Don't learn. Don't get down. Be depressed. Be lowered to your environment. There are people around us that are not acting with dignity. We live in Gullus. We live in a country which has gone mad. You read the news every day. It's unreal. Who would believe these things? If you were living, your grandparents, our great grandparents, you would tell them stories of what goes on in the world today. They wouldn't believe it. So what? Take in your hands items of the Torah and the mitzvahs and live it to its fullest. U'samachtem. Don't be influenced by your surrounding. This is what the mitzvah of Sukkah together with the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog is all about. No matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself, you find yourself in an environment and situations that are soulless. Don't despair. You live life to its fullest. You take the Lulav, the Esrog. The Esrog is the pre-Eitz Hadar. You make a bracha, Al Tilas Lulav. You make a shachianu, v'kimanu, v'kianu, lasman hazeh, and do as the Torah says, u'simachtem, rejoice, lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yomim. I heard a story from the Blue Shiva Rebbe, around the Blue Shiva Rebbe. It's not believable, the story. It's really not believable, the story. I don't remember where I saw I heard very recently the story. I think it was on Yom Kippur. I think the rabbi said the story in Yom Kippur. I don't remember. I didn't read it. I heard it, the story. I think the rabbi said it. And the story is told about the Blue Shiva Rebbe. He was in concentration camps, and he was unique in that he was in concentration camps, labor camps, I think for 5 years. The Holocaust, it was how long do you consider the Holocaust? There are many opinions. But the main war, the main bulk of the Holocaust was about 6 years. It was about 6 years, 1938 to 1945, 1944. And the Blujava Rebbe was in labor camps for 5 of those 6 years. There are almost no survivors. There's almost no one. People who survived Auschwitz, they survived. There are a few people, here and there that survived the camps. Testimony of what happened. Among the survivors, they were there for a year, 2 years, 3 years. There's almost no one that survived 5 years. And he survived 5 years. Very unusual. He was a very holy person. And I don't know the exact details, but he was liberated. The camp, at the end of the war, the camp was liberated. I don't know if it was by the Americans. I don't know. The camp was liberated by the British, not clear. And everyone escaped. They left. I think it was Auschwitz. I'm not sure. It was one of the camps. I wasn't paying much attention, too much close attention after research the story. And then everyone was outside, and they were escaping. And the Rebbe, he went back into the barracks. And what is he doing? What is he going back? And a person followed the Rebbe back to the barracks, and the Rebbe was whispering something in the barracks. And then eventually the Rebbe left the barracks and he joined all those people, and whatever happened, happened. It always bothered this individual. Why did the Rebbe go back into the barracks? And what was he whispering? What was he saying? Years later, many years later, that individual happened to meet the Rebbe. The Rebbe was very old. He met the Rebbe and he said to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, I saw you go back to the barracks after we were liberated. No one went back to the barracks. No one went back to the Gehenna and the torture. But you went back in there. For some reason, you went back into the barracks and you were whispering something. Rebbe, tell me, what did you say? What were you saying in the barracks?" So the Rebbe stopped. He thought for a while. And he said to him, "I was whispering the words, Kosher olai predaschem. Kosher olai predaschem. It is difficult for me to leave you." Now, again, this is not for the average person. Okay, this is not for the faint of heart. The Rebbe was saying, those 5 years of Gehenna on earth, I suffered enormously. But I was mechazik myself to grow in emunah from the suffering. Every day, people were killed. And 5 years is not normal. It happened over 5 years. And Rebbe, again, this is not for the faint of heart. This is not the average person can relate to the story. In no way can a person, I don't think any person alive can really fully relate to this. But he said, the Rebbe said, I was mechazik myself. Despite the torture and the suffering, to have emunah by Hashem at every step of the way. Unbelievable. And now that the Holocaust is over, Baruch Hashem, but I don't mind. I wish it never happened. I wish it never happened. I lost everything, my family. But I have to acknowledge that it happened. I can't not acknowledge that I suffered. And I have to acknowledge that in the suffering I was machazing myself. I grew in emunah. I grew in emunah. And the emunah that I grew from, I have to say, it's no longer
And it's kosher olai pridaschem from that degree of him that I was machazik myself in this Gehenna. You think about it, that's really an amazing story. And it's almost impossible to relate to. Person goes through a tzara. The average person says,
"You're breaking up."
Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now?
It's very coming in, very breaking.
It's unclear.
Do you hear me now?
A little better.
Hear me now?
A little better, but it sounds far.
All right, I'm going to log this and come back on.
No.
Stay on.
Just keep going.
So, kosher like pridaschem. These words are the words we say on Shmini Atzeres when we leave the sukkah. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, kosher like pridaschem, stay one more day. The mitzvah of sukkah is really what the Rishon LeRabbah said. And the mitzvah of sukkah, the mitzvah of dalet meaning that we take in the sukkah is really the same message that we're trying to bring out. The sukkah represents misery. Again, that's not the pashup shot. There are many opinions in the sukkah. Sukkah generally is the tzila de manusa. You know, but sukkah is psoilas. The schach is garbage. It's just the refuse. It's just the leftover of the product that the harvest. It represents the environment, the situation, which is painful, is just depressing. We're in life, we go through situations that are just impossible to deal with. But yet the Torah says, it is our minhag, to take the lulav and esrog in the sukkah. You take the lulav and esrog in the sukkah, in that environment, and you shake it. Usemachtem, the beautiful esrog. The Blue Shiva Rebbe said that there can be nothing more depressing or worse, nothing, than what he went through for 5 years. And he, a Malach Elokim, was able, at every step of tragedy, to strengthen himself in Emuna. He was Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kachem, in a sukkah, every single day for 5 years. And that's what we have to do on our own level. Our own, no, not the Blue Shiva Rebbe. No one can do such a thing. But in life, as we go through, we are faced with difficult environments, difficult situations. No, I'm going to take the rule of an eshok u'semachtem b'fnei Hashem Elokeichem, and I'll make the best out of it. L'shem Shamayim. Everyone should have a wonderful Yom Tov. B'chag kosher v'semeach v'semachta b'chagecha v'hanisa ach semeach. I wish everyone a good Yom Tov and a friendly Yom Tov, and we should hear good news from Eretz Yisrael. So many tzaras, so many families suffering now. So many families suffering. Attack in the army base. Terrible, terrible. To every person that was injured has a family. Himself, we don't know what the injuries are. Injuries can be lost an arm, lost a leg. Damage for life. It's unbearable. It's a terrible thing. And we should mekayim the mitzvah as a zechus for achinu bnei Yisrael. I'm assuming that sort of a shivyon. And we should zoich to a Yeshua, a tzlocha, and bias goyim haMashiach, and hero of your name. Amen. Good night, everyone. Good Yom Tov.
Thank you, Rabbi. God bless you, all your prayers should reach Akisei Kavod.
My pleasure.